Hello, my name's Tim Humphreys, and I attended the launch of the BBC Two TV series Pilgrimage. It's back on our screens this Easter 2025. Now, this three-part series sees seven celebrities of differing religious faiths and beliefs tackle a 300-kilometre trek through the Austrian and Swiss Alps. Now, one of them is former soldier Harry Clark. You'll know he's no stranger to reality TV, having won Series 2 of Traitors. And when I met him, I started by asking how this walk compares to military training.
Yeah, I think it was a great preparation. I never knew I needed it. I had 6 years of being in the military, so the walking on the pilgrimage itself came quite easily, if I can say that, not to look beheaded or anything. But no, I found the walking quite easy. I was obviously offering to help as well, and it allowed me to help others because I was so used to walking so much. And that was only not as far and not as much weight on the back. So yeah, it was quite smooth for me.
And in terms of the kind of physical side as well, that was okay. Did you do much training in the lead up to?
Nah. I think you can see I was chubby, very chubby when I filmed the pilgrimage. I was actually 100 kilos when I filmed that, and I'm now 84. So I've been on a health kick since. But I didn't do much. No, it was just walking.
There is, of course, also that element of the camaraderie of coming together. That must have been just great.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never stayed over with celebs like that. So it was so weird because I obviously don't view myself as a celeb, right? So I thought these people were proper. It's so weird how you view them as not normal people. And then you go there and it's like, actually, they are just normal people. We're all the same. And like you said, it was very weird sharing a bed with Jeff straight from first night. But I mean, military, you're used to that, sharing a bed and not really having your own personal space. You're sort of all together. And I think they appreciated that too, because when at times it might have got hard that people were getting on each other's backs, I was very much the one to be like, we're walking around the Alps, man. Like, there's no worries.
The pilgrimage is the opposite of traitors and deception and strategy and gameplay. You were faithful, learning also about others' faith as well. What was it like taking different tacks, different approaches to different shows?
Yeah, I think I'd always much prefer to be a traitor. But it's funny because I started for traitor in this whole show, I'm faithful. But I think that's what I'm most excited for, because in this show itself, people will see why I won that show and why I won the traitors, because of how open and honest I am and just myself, which is a side you see in this pilgrimage, because there's no competition, there's no winner or loser. And when that is involved, all I want to do is win. So you change a little bit, you know, you sort of hide emotions and you're always thinking game plan. This pilgrimage is completely different from that, where people can see the other side to me, but they'll see the side that the people and the traitors saw in the castle 24/7. So you'll be able to understand how I've essentially won the show and how trustworthy I was, I guess.
What did you learn about yourself from this experience?
Yeah, I think I keep surprising myself a lot. So this experience itself, it just showed me how mature I think I am, in a sense that I can be a kid, but I have a level of maturity to me where I've seen things in life that have advanced me a lot quicker than others. You know, like, for example, when I'm speaking to these guys, it's like my view on religion as a whole and just life, you know, as soon as the realization at 21 that life was not meant to be understood, it was meant to be felt, which allowed me to see life as, if you're not happy, then why are you doing it? So I think that just made me feel like I was way more mature than I am, and also strong. I think strong in my faith and strong in the way that I can just connect with people. And that was, again, thanks to the military, all of these skills and qualities that the military was that molding factor, I always say. It was like the factory where I had all these qualities. I just didn't know how to put them all together. But the military molded that all into one person, and that's who I am today. And I think you'll see that on the pilgrimage, the way I connect with others and the way I never get angry or anything like that. You know, you just have this sense of calmness to you, and like, people can say some rogue stuff about religion sometimes, or they can say something you massively disagree with, but the ability to just sit there and be like, that's fine, that's your personal opinion, and not retaliate or not react is thanks to the military.
We see you on screen talking about your Catholic upbringing. We see you taking a moment to pray in episode one. What strength do you draw from your Catholic faith?
Like, the easiest way to put it is, like, my faith is like my armor sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I feel stronger when I'm with it. And like I said, 21 was a big realization point for me, where I was at the bottom, and I struggled massively with mental health while serving in the military. And one of the biggest things for me was I dug myself into that hole, so I'm the only one that's going to get myself out of it. But alongside praying, which came to me because that's what I used to do as a kid, once I prayed and I didn't feel alone anymore, me and myself and I got myself out of that hole, and here I am now a couple of years later.
How has going on this experience, being part of this show, perhaps given extra focus and shape to your faith?
Yeah, 100%. I think, like I said, before I went on the pilgrimage, I had a strong faith anyway. It was just cloudy. It was like I had a strong faith, but why am I actually praying? Like, what's the point in this? And the pilgrimage itself was like the wipe that sort of cleared that lens. And it was like, no, you're in the right place. You're doing the right thing. Just be happy and carry on with what you're doing. And I think also learning from all of the other like celebs themselves, they've been in this industry now for 15 to 20 years, some of them, and me being in it for a year, then filming the pilgrimage, I didn't know what was going on half the time. And I've always had my own personal worries of, will I have works next week, or, you know, do I join back to the army or what? So it's speaking to them and them sort of giving me a sense of calmness too. I'll take many things away from the experience.
You're out of the army after serving nearly seven years. You're very much still kind of signposting there back to the army and its experiences in your life. Thinking of later this year, we'll be celebrating the 80th anniversary of VE Day. What does that mean to you? How will you be celebrating?
Yeah, I mean, I cannot wait, because I'll be down at the Royal Albert Hall for the 8th of May when we're there celebrating VE Day. And that generation should just be idolized, really, because it's the strongest generation we've ever had and we will ever see. It's as real as, you know, people will say bad things, or I disagree with the war, and remembering these people is bad because that means you're agreeing with the war. It's like, well, I'm not. But at the end of the day, the only reason you have them opinions is because of the freedom we've got, because of the sacrifices they made. It's as real as, you know, for our tomorrow they gave their today. So I will be down at the Royal Albert Hall celebrating it with a load of veterans, having a party. Literally, it's just a party. I'll be presenting, I'll be talking and getting the stories from some of the veterans in the crowd, and then there'll be hosts of dancing, there'll be some singing back from the times of when victory in Europe was announced. So I cannot wait.
Former soldier and Traitors Series 2 winner Harry Clark. Also at the launch of the BBC Two TV series Pilgrimage, I met another of its stars, comedian Helen Lederer. As well as starring in hit TV sitcoms through the years like Absolutely Fabulous, she also has close personal links to the armed forces, as her family played key roles in the Second World War. Well, I met her and I started by asking about the role that humour plays in this pilgrimage.
Because it was something I'd never done before, and being of a certain age, you do draw on your life experience, and because humour has sustained me, you know you're going to be with six people you've never met before in an intense environment where you're going to talk about faith, you're going to be walking, you're away from anything you know. So I just think humour connects you, so that when, God forbid, there are irritations or heightened moments, you can go, you know what, this is quite funny, really. And then that joyous moment that breaks the tension, and that's the payoff. And I think that's why humour is so important. It just makes you feel fine about normal stuff.
We've seen you over the years with French and Saunders in ensemble pieces. We've seen you on Ab Fab as well, but also solo up on stage on your own as a stand-up. What feeling did you glean from that camaraderie there that you touched on from the group?
I think that having a life as a stand-up comedian is quite a solo life, but so that it's quite a frightening life, but also that's your terrain. I'm attracted to danger, so I'm attracted to the unknown. Again, just finding the absurd moments, just the joy. You just go, we're laughing or we're singing, or how often do you get that opportunity? So I was so grateful to be placed with people for 2 weeks where you could learn so much about yourself and other people.
There were, though, also those poignant moments on the trip as well. And I know that your family's history played into some of the stories that we'll see on the series. Just tell us a little bit more about that and some of those moments.
Because I am a mixed heritage representative in the group, because the purpose of the programme is to largely bring people of faiths of some kind. And I was conflicted, thinking I'm not a practicing Jewish person. My father and my grandparents came here because they had to leave Czechoslovakia, being cultural Jews. So I have that in my past, although I don't have that in my present, but it was about being able to really feel their experience, but in a community of other people, of modern thought, of modern words, of wanting to talk to each other about different faiths, and the opportunities to share faiths was so important, never more important than now in a way, but being careful about the words you choose and being respectful, but also not shying away from my past as I have in the past.
And am I right in thinking that you visited a concentration camp as well along the way?
A documentary a few years ago was made where I was introduced to the fact that my grandfather, unbeknownst to me, was a secret listener. He'd been hired by MI9 in the war, because he was a Czechoslovakian emigre, to eavesdrop on German prisoners of war at Trent Park, of which I'm now a trustee. So that's a whole story there. But I also knew through hearsay from my grandmother that the Lederers, a lot of their family had been in Auschwitz and Theresienstadt. So when we were in Austria, we were near Munchausen, we were near the Mauthausen concentration camp. It surprised me that you would think about your own family, as did so many of us from different faiths, think about how their family had informed them, whether it was directly or indirectly. So it's finding a new way of talking about inheriting this past and how do we make sense of it now, and being genuinely sad about the past.
In this programme, we saw people coming together from lots of different walks of life, lots of different faiths and ideologies. What will you take from that experience into your life and work?
What I'm going to take away from this experience, I never thought it would give me friendship, thought. I've become paradoxically more tolerant of people who I wouldn't normally spend time with. And you go, they were on their journey. So to be enforced with six other people, it's taught me that everyone has a different journey. They have a different background. They have every right to playing their part, but secretly I just relish the ones that make me laugh, and I'm just going to own that.
Now, one of the other well-known names taking part in this series is Paralympian Steph Reed. The below-the-knee amputee competed in track and field in the Beijing, London and Rio Games. And when I chatted to her, I asked her first about how her faith, her Christian faith and her sport intersect.
My journey with faith as an athlete was really interesting, because again, I take, like, if my faith, if I believe this, then it better penetrate every area of my life. And so one of the first things I had to deal with was sport. And is it okay to pray to God to win? Is that an okay thing to pray? And you know, I wasn't entirely sure, but I thought, like, cover all your bases. And so, you know, yes. But then, you know, you'd be on the start line, and then I'm like, oh, but they're a Christian as well. And so, you know, if she's praying to win, like, oh, how's God going to decide? And suddenly things get really complicated. And, you know, if you don't win, does that mean that, you know, God's upset with you? What does that mean? And so having to get to this much deeper, honest, and I had some really dark moments as an athlete. And you're just like, is God in this as well? Can God be in something that's actually quite difficult and quite dark? And that's a question I've had to really wrestle with, both losing my leg. I'm really thankful you saved me, but you kind of took away the one thing that I really loved. You know, how do I wrestle with a God that would do that? So kind of taking all that through to my sport career, and then through the Paralympics, and just, I was at an event where someone introduced me as, there was a language barrier, but he introduced me as Steph Reed, a great winner. And he made me laugh, because I thought, actually, like, statistically, I've actually lost about 95% of my races. I just happened to win in a few. But no, like, I lost. So actually, statistically, I should be introduced as a great loser. But genuinely. But again, it's just understanding that, life is not that black and white. It's winning and losing, and what can you learn? Okay, with the pilgrimage, it was just, for me, it was about just having some space away from all that. And the best thing about the pilgrimage is I've done two reality shows. So I've done MasterChef, and I did Dancing on Ice. And this is the only one where someone doesn't get sent home. You know, it's just kind of nice. Like, we were all there for 2 weeks. Yes. And so for me, it was just good to have something physical and also something spiritual to keep your mind on. the task at hand.
So as a Paralympian, obviously you're sort of single-minded and focused on your sport, so both you and your husband in his sport as well. How does that compare to then being in community, a group of seven on this pilgrimage? What kind of rubs were they from that single-mindedness to that camaraderie?
Do you know, it was wonderful. And I think I've been more and more aware getting toward the end of my career. Like, as an athlete, you are, out of necessity, you're selfish. And that is just part of the job. You know, you've got such a limited window in terms of when your body's going to be at its peak. And you have to, I would almost describe it as you basically have to ask everyone who's important in your life for permission to be really selfish. And that's just the nature of it. But it's for a defined period of time, and then you have to let it go. And for me, it's actually been, so my husband actually still competes, I've retired. And the past 3 years have actually been really great because for the first time in my career, I've been able to support him because I don't quite have that same weight, and he's loved that too. But it's just nice to be in a position where I've removed myself from the center. And actually being in community was that exact same thing too. Like, I absolutely loved watching everyone on the journey. I loved watching you. It was just nice to, you know, just play a side role now.
I'm gonna play tattletale and tell you the truth, the tea, okay? This woman would run up the hills. The rest of us are behind her. Steph's just like a mile and a half away. Where's Steph? Steph's way ahead in advance. She was competitive on the pilgrimage. She was always racing ahead of us. Like, where's Steph? It's raining. Our backs are sodden, wet, aching. Where's Steph? Oh, Steph's about half a yard, you know, half a mile that way. It's like, you could take the woman out of the track, but you can't take the track out of the woman.
Well, for me, it was very practical. I'm like, let's just get the pain over with.
She was like, up like a gazelle. It was insane watching you go up those hills. It was brilliant.
You were always at the thing, yeah.
I was up, there were some passes where I found it easier because they were actually quite tricky. I would always walk behind someone just because if I could watch their feet, I could gauge just kind of what the ground was doing. Although I think my favorite moment might have been racing Harry speed walking.
BFBS, the Forces Station.